Three of the five seats on Visalia City Council will be decided by voters on Election Day, November 8, 2005. In September, each of the eight certified candidates were given the opportunity to be interviewed by freelance reporter and interviewer Chris Haberman of Visalia. Each bona fide news interview is about 30 minutes in length and will be broadcast exclusively on KVLP throughout this election season. You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Greg Collins.
All right, this is Chris Haberman, and I'm here at Greg Collins' office interviewing Greg Collins, who is running for the City Council here in Visalia. And Greg, thanks for taking out the time today.
Thank you.
Well, I guess the real question is why would a guy want to run for City Council, particularly after he's already been the mayor of the city?
Well, that's a good question, Chris, and one that my close friends have asked me, and my wife. I've been off the council for about 14 years, and I previously served for 16, the last four being four as mayor. And some things that were occurring in the community just began to really disturb me in terms of what I term sort of unbridled growth, both residential, commercial, and a lot of the planning principles and concepts that previous councils had worked hard to implement seemed to be coming unraveled. And obviously, I call Visalia my home. I've grown up here and attended all the schools. And
how long have you actually been in Visalia, Greg?
54 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it really began to sort of sadden me and disturb me that there didn't seem to be any effort in getting a handle on this growth, and after much contemplation and conversations with my wife, I threw my hat in the ring.
Well, maybe we could talk a little bit just, about who you are and give the listeners here at KVLP an opportunity to know a little bit about yourself. You did mention you've been in Visalia for a long time. Why don't you tell us a little about your schooling and what you do for a living?
Okay. Well, grew up in Visalia, attended all the public schools here, and Mount Whitney High School, and attended COS for 2 years. From there, I graduated and went to University of California at Santa Barbara, where I majored in biology and received my degree there. And really, towards the end, got interested in planning, and so started my planning career at the County of Tulare as a planning intern. Worked there for about 6 to 7 years on a couple of major land use projects. And in the interim, I got my master's degree in city and regional planning from Fresno State. And when I graduated, rather than going back to the private sector, I decided to start my own consulting firm. And so I've been doing that since 83. So that's 20 years. And the firm is called Collins and Shuttler, and we are planning consultants that provide planning services to cities, counties, school districts. We only do public sector clients. We don't work for any private sector folks, although representing the cities, we work with the private sector quite a bit.
Okay. You're married, have kids?
Yes, married for 24 years and have two children. Christopher is 20 and attends Redlands University. And my daughter, Kelsey, is 16 and a junior at Mount Whitney High School. And my wife has been teaching in the school district for 27 years and is a teacher of psychology and PE out at Golden West High School.
All right. Deep fruits. Maybe you could tell me, you know, you've already mentioned that you saw the issues of unbridled growth, or what you believed were unbridled growth. You want to talk about that a little bit and explain to the listeners what it was you saw that had you so concerned you wanted to run for the council again?
I think what I'm going to provide for people in terms of a choice is really a new vision, and this is a new vision for the development of not only Visalia, but I would hope it would be a model for maybe all communities in the San Joaquin Valley. Obviously, in the planning field, I've done a lot of reading and studies and fashioned plans for other communities. And it has recently struck me that the way we grow ourselves in the valley, whether it be Fresno, Bakersfield, Visalia, or smaller communities, we just need to embrace a new model, a new approach. And that's what I'm really offering the public. I don't think that we can continue to leapfrog and sprawl and consume one of our most precious resources. I think we have to be concerned about overdraft of water and our air quality. We need to be concerned about affordable housing. And so, in a sense, I'm offering a new approach, sort of growing from the inside out, being more concerned about higher densities and good design, because I think that's an area that we have can do a better job on, and really working on within the confines of the urban area of Visalia, and spending as much time and effort working on infill and redevelopment as we do on developments on the fringe of the community.
And so I take it then that your vision that you're talking about would be one of this focusing more on the existing city boundaries. And do you have any more specifics that you can share with us at this time?
Well, yeah, I can. And it's one that the current council is working on. And it's actually, I don't know that they'll ever grace me with having the idea, but about 20 years ago, I felt that we should try to upgrade what I call the Stockyards area.
Right.
And the last couple of years, the city has actually began implementation of moving the Civic Center there.
This would be on the east side of town.
Correct.
Toward Ben Maddox.
Yeah, there's a lot of rundown buildings there,
sure.
Underutilized buildings, large spaces. And I guess my vision is almost a city within a city. And so that's where I talk about growing from the inside out to build almost a small city that would have a mix of everything from affordable housing to the Civic Center and other kinds of uses that would be multi-story, that would be adjacent to the downtown. So rather than going out to the fringe of the community to provide that kind of housing or those uses, you would do it within the confines of this 200-acre area. It maintains everything in sort of the core of the community. It maintains the viability of the downtown. It promotes public transportation and walking. And all of those things have a significant role in air quality and congestion on the streets. So that would be certainly a primary focus of mine.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Greg Collins.
a number of people that I've talked with have said, well, you know, if we didn't do expansions like Packwood Creek or some of the others, Visalia wouldn't have some of the nice things and the nice stores and restaurants that we have today. Is Packwood Creek one of the things that you would have handled differently? Or
I would have handled it differently, and at the public hearings I stated as such. One of the things that my firm does, we spend a lot of time, and that is in design. And that particular development is very car-oriented. So when you go to one of those buildings and then you want to go to another building, you're either got a long walk across a parking lot or you physically have to get in your car and drive to the building. Today, there are a lot of developers that are doing a very pedestrian-oriented type of commercial design wherein you maybe drive to the site. But after you've done that, you're walking around from store to store. And that was one of the examples that I felt was missed, a missed opportunity to make it a much more pedestrian-oriented facility.
So it wasn't the growth next necessarily beyond Packwood Creek that was problematic?
You know, I think it was eventual. We held the line for 20 years. That line was established in the 91 plan, but even earlier than that, the 78 plan. And we could have held it, when I say we, the community could have held the line for another 5 years and promoted some additional infill on the north side of Mooney. I think we would have achieved that. But yeah, eventually it was probably going to go south of Packwood.
Do you have any thoughts on how the growth that's currently taken place is impacting or will impact various city services such as police and fire? And do you have any thoughts on that should you become a city councilman again?
Well, this sort of new approach, if you will, is more of a compact urban feature. It's contiguous, and obviously the word that seems everybody is coining these days, concentric growth, which I guess I started 20 years ago. But when you have a tighter urban area, you don't have a dilution of services, whether it's police or fire or sewer or water lines. And so there's simply more efficiency built into the system. Whereas if you have Sierra View Golf Course that the council wants to have developed, well, that's a long ways away from Visalia. So when you got to run a police car out there or a fire truck or a garbage truck, there's a certain amount of inefficiency built into the system because of that travel distance. And so through this new model, I'm suggesting that we can be more efficient in our use of land, and I think that translates into higher efficiency regarding services and infrastructure.
I know that in the news there's been all kinds of brouhaha about the auto mall out on Plaza Drive, and I understand that there's ongoing litigation about that. If you can't comment on it specifically, I mean, I certainly understand that, but do you have any thoughts that you'd like to share with the listeners about the auto mall or that particular example of, or maybe the scenic corridor, that example of growth?
Well, it's something that obviously I was very concerned enough about it, in that we garnered over 5,000 signatures, 4,300 were certified to put it on the ballot. We got knocked out on a technicality. But the issue of abandoning the core of the community with an auto dealership was so foreign to what we had been about in terms of planning in this community. And the thing that it saddens me today, instead of telling people, you know, you turn off of 99, come down 198, and it's a sort of an agrarian feel, and many people have commented on how pleasant it is. Now we need to tell them to turn at the auto mall and come on in. So our entranceway is now going to be defined by that particular use, where prior to that, it's something that we, all Visayans, were proud of. And people that have moved here have commented on how pleasant it was when they came into the community. And so it was a tremendous deviation from the 2020 plan. It was contrary to what we were trying to do with the auto dealers and the related industries, and that was to put them in East Visalia.
Now, as I understand it, money is still owed by the people of Visalia on bonds that are relate to the last auto mall that was built out on Ben Maddox, the east side of town. Do you have any thoughts on the impact of the new auto mall on that issue?
Yeah, from a fiscal point of view, the original auto district was built in the redevelopment area, and that generates tax increment, which is good because it pays back the city for the money they put in regarding improvements. And a lot of folks have made investment in auto-related businesses in that area based on that community of auto uses. And this sort of stems the momentum in that now we're focusing on West Visalia. And so for those folks that have made an investment in East Visalia, I think they feel a little, they're somewhat upset by that. And some of the auto dealers are upset. Thank goodness Serpa and Grappetti and Giant Chevrolet have elected to stay on the Ben Maddox corridor. I think it's working for them. It's centrally located, easy to get to. So it seems like it's working.
Well, I don't want to use up all our time talking about growth, unless, of course, you want to. But do you have, are there other issues facing Visalia that you think are important that you'd like our listeners to know about?
Well, yeah, I do have a couple. You know, one of the things that probably, in addition to, you know, growth and traffic congestion that a lot of people are concerned about is public safety, and especially in light of the recent tragedy in New Orleans, people are concerned about whether the city is properly covered from a public safety point of view. And there, thank goodness that the citizens of Visalia did pass a sales tax override to give us the additional funds for police and fire personnel. So that speaks highly of this community and its commitment to public safety. One of the things that the fire department is doing, and I've talked to a couple people about this, and I would like to maybe raise the bar on that, and that is providing paramedics. And as I understand it, there's an effort afoot to have maybe a paramedic at each station or what have you. I would like to explore the idea of maybe making all firemen paramedics. And what that will do, if we can afford it and we can work out the issues, it adds a blanket over the community of some medical care that is out in the community and available to everybody. Can't do much about the hospital and their concerns about their ER room, but we can certainly make the firemen the best trained, and if they're all paramedics, we have sort of another layer of protection out there, if you will.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Greg Collins.
What about the issue of coverage of police and fire for the city? Do you believe that there's adequate coverage or disproportionate coverage in certain parts of the city?
You know, I haven't seen a coverage map. All I can say is that I'm somewhat amazed at the amount of growth up in the northern region. Not that that's good or bad, but it's so far out there that to cover it means that you have to move the stations further and further out. And again, this brings me back to sort of maybe the new approach. If we're more compact, theoretically, we'll have better coverage. It'll be more people per square acre or per square mile.
Is that too late for some areas? I mean, a lot of these housing tracts are already built.
It's water under the bridge at this point. I think the issue becomes, and the public needs to make a decision, and that's another reason I'm running. I'm giving the citizens of an opportunity to respond to this unbridled growth with a vote. And I'm certainly not a no-growther. I've probably designed and approved more growth than any person in Visalia, having spent 16 years on the council and being a planning consultant myself. But I think we got to conduct business differently.
And so you're not the no-growth guy. You would like to really see growth be refocused within the city, working on infill and this new vision of design.
I want to put as much effort into the process of infill and the design of that infill and how that infill integrates into the larger community as we do on the fringe of the community. And I think in the long run, this will benefit Visalia.
Obviously, the city council is made up of a number of individuals, but I assume there has to be an element of teamwork involved. How would you cast yourself in terms of working within a team and building consensus or holding the line and not budging? You got any thoughts on that issue, either based on your past experiences? Or?
Well, I would have to say that my last 4 years as mayor, my role shifted from being one of the council members to one that needed to facilitate a consensus on the part of the council, to be a peacemaker, to be a person that secured a compromise with the council on various issues. I can't abandon my particular beliefs, but I sort of liken running a city to running a football team. You know, you need the right players in the right positions. You need to support your employees with a good working environment, the proper tools. You need to give them some support and accolades when they need it. And on the other hand, sometimes you have to nudge them along and say, gee, you need to do a better job. But I've always fashioned myself, and this goes back to my coaching career. I've coached for 20 years, You try to get the best out of your employees. And really, I've always said that the council is only as good as the employees that work for the city of Visalia. And so towards that end, one of my roles would be, if elected, would to make the organization as healthy as possible, as responsive as possible, as effective and efficient as possible.
Do you see any areas where you think certain departments of the city have not been living up to snuff and you'd like to see improvements made?
I think what I'd like to do, if I'm elected, would be to reserve judgment on that. I want to give everybody, department heads, staff, an opportunity to share with the council, how they're conducting that particular department and obviously respond to some pointed questions. Give them the benefit of the doubt. But, sometimes in politics you have to make unpopular decisions, and the viability of the community is really at stake. And as a council, if you feel that we need to go a new direction, or there need to be changes made for the betterment of the community, that's what you got to do.
Any thoughts on the fees that people pay in the city for the various services, whether it be, you know, builders getting permits or the cost of various city services? Have you had a chance to look at those things and think about them at all?
Well, I can say, and people often say, you know, what's your political leanings? I try to say that in regards to the city of Visalia, I'm pretty apolitical. It's not a Democratic or Republican issue regarding how you pick up the garbage or whether the toilet flushes.
It's how you throw the garbage.
Yeah. Right. I'm somewhat a fiscal conservative in that respect. I think that as best they can, services should pay for themselves. Growth should pay for itself. A lot of communities are suffering because they didn't collect the necessary fees to add a new domestic well or upgrade the treatment plant or widen that particular roadway. And the community suffers as a result of that inability to pay for services or infrastructure.
Well, Greg, we'd probably be remiss if we didn't touch on the subject of the Radisson. For a lot of people that maybe are new to town or younger, they may not remember that the Radisson Hotel had quite a bit of controversy around it during the time that you were, I believe, both mayor and city council. And there was a lot of critics saying that the city lost money and things like that. So I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that and just get that issue right out on the table.
Certainly, Chris. You're correct that construction of the Radisson and subsequently the convention center was a very controversial item. A lot of people felt that it was a poor decision, either from the city being involved or from a financial perspective. And as mayor, you have to take full responsibility for anything that occurs on your watch. So I certainly do that freely. I think what has transpired after about 15 years of the Radisson being operated and the convention center is that it has proved to be a wise decision in terms of maintaining the viability of the downtown. Obviously, there were some financial consequences subsequent to my leaving the council, and I think it was maybe 7 years later they sold the Radisson. I believe they sold it for around $14 million, and so there probably was some monetary loss. But you have to weigh that in terms of the long-term benefits to the downtown. The project was very controversial. It was very complex. It took us probably 2 or 3 years to assemble all the properties to even be able to consider expanding the convention center and building the adjacent hotel. So a lot of time and effort was put into it. The financing was very complex. But I think in the end, and when I say in the end today, it has proved to be a wise decision in terms of the viability of downtown Visalia.
It would be hard to argue that lots of people have been brought to the downtown area because of the convention center. I want to give you, I guess we just have a couple of minutes left, so I want to give you an opportunity to give kind of a final statement, if you like, perhaps, you know, the vision that you have for Visalia, the way you'd like to see it be in the next couple of years.
I think in conclusion, Visalians are going to have a choice, and my running for city council provides Visalians with an opportunity to conduct business and grow the community differently than it has in the past. We are experiencing a tremendous amount of urban sprawl, And it's my intention that we're going to grow Visalia more differently, more wisely. We're going to try to grow from the inside out, promote higher densities to preserve ag land. But also, I'd like to think that after 16 years on the council, I understand how a city operates and how a city operates effectively and efficiently, and certainly I'll be promoting that. And hopefully if I'm elected, I realize that I'm part of a team, and really you have to be a team player. You can't forego your particular philosophies, but you have to work with the other council members and staff to forge a good working relationship, because then and only then do the citizens of Visalia benefit in terms of a quality community. So I am different than the other persons running for council, and I'm providing Visalians with a unique choice and opportunity to either grow to be Bakersfield and Fresno-like or something uniquely different.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I know our listeners are really going to enjoy hearing this interview, and good luck in the election.
Thank you, Chris.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Greg Collins. As a licensed broadcast station, KVLP is serious about the obligation to operate in the public interest and to afford reasonable opportunity for the discussion of conflicting views of issues of public importance. KVLP does not support or oppose any candidate. No money, service, or other valuable consideration has been directly or indirectly paid or promised to or charged or accepted by KVLP from any person or persons or corporation, committee, association, or other unincorporated group or other entity. KVLP is not required to permit the use of its facilities by any candidate and by policy does not grant such requests. Any rebroadcast of this unique news presentation is a violation of FCC regulations. Please email your comments to kvlp@radio.fm. Stay tuned to 101.5 for more candidate interviews throughout this election season. And remember, if you don't register, you can't vote.